The FBI in Peace and War. The FBI in Peace and War is brought to you by refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum every day, as millions do. The lively, long-lasting flavor cools your mouth and freshens your taste. The pleasant chewing adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Four Flusher.
Hey, Benny, what are you stopping here for?
I'm not stopping. The car's stopping.
Well, start it. Sign says it's 2 miles to the town.
You want to know something kind of interesting?
What?
We're out of gas.
Yeah? How do you know?
It says empty right here, see?
Oh, yeah, so it does.
You know, Phil, maybe we're jinxing each other. Two guys in different branches of the profession. Maybe you ought to go to California your way and I ought to go mine, huh?
Well, who keeps the car?
Well, I stole it.
I've been supplying the gasoline.
Okay, we'll sell it.
No, Benny, I admit you're not much company, but you're better than nothing.
I am?
Besides, we're almost halfway. See what it says on the sign? Jackson City, Illinois, 2 miles.
That doesn't put any gas in the tank.
Yeah, I know it doesn't, but... Hey, wait a minute. Did I just say Jackson City?
Yeah, that's what you said.
Jackson City, Miller Manufacturing Company, Sam Miller, president.
What are you talking about?
Benny, I crashed one of those business conventions in New York last fall, and I met this Miller guy along with a lot of other suckers. I couldn't use him at the time, but I figured someday if I ever went west... Where's my briefcase?
Where it always is, under your arm.
Oh, yeah, so it is.
This guy got money?
If I remember right. Oh, yeah. Here's the card I made out on him. Miller, Sam. Medium income bracket and so forth. Wife likes books and so forth. Goes for the ladies and so forth.
Never mind the so forth.
Oh, Benny, this is an absolutely perfect sucker. I've even put down the pitch I could use on him.
Like what?
Hey, you see this note? Mink coat, diamond bracelet for wife routine.
For whose wife?
My wife.
You haven't got one?
Well, of course I haven't. And I don't own the Philip Dudley Evans Distributors Incorporated, either.
Phil, frankly, all of this doesn't make much sense to me.
It will when you see me in action.
A mink coat and a diamond bracelet. Well, it's better than stealing cars off the street. Let's see how you do it.
Wanted by the FBI, Philip Dudley Evans with aliases for fraud and impersonation. Description as follows.
5'16". You remember me telling you about him, Agnes, last year when I came home from the convention. Phil Evans, wonderful sense of humor, always good for a laugh.
I know the type. 2 beers and he starts putting on ladies' hats.
Oh, now, Agnes.
Oh, it's all right, Sam. If it's good for business, we'll give him cocktails and dinner. I'm not complaining, am I?
Listen, honey, he owns one of the largest chain stores in the South. He could give me a $100,000 order just like that.
I know, Sam.
Now, Agnes, please be nice to him, will you? It's tax deductible.
All right, Sam. But I know just what it's going to be like. He'll come in here and hand me a 2-pound box of chocolate.
Well, maybe he'd bring something else.
Not your friend, Sam. Why can't you be like Ed Smith? He brings home interesting people, writers and musicians.
Oh, drunks, deadbeats. Listen, if I was as broke as Ed Smith, that's all I could get to. There he is. Agnes.
I'll be good, Sam.
Oh, thanks. Well, hello, Phil. Come in now. Come in.
Well, hello, Sam.
And now, Phil, I want you to meet the little woman, the one I was doing all that talking about last fall at the convention. Phil, this is Agnes.
Hello, Mrs. Miller. I'm mighty glad to know you.
How do you do, Mr. Evans?
Well, Sam, I don't think you did enough talking at the convention.
Well, can I help it if I've got a beautiful wife?
I guess you can't. Oh, Mrs. Miller, ma'am, I took the liberty of bringing you a little something.
Oh, Agnes is off chocolates, but I'll eat them.
Oh, well, I'm afraid it isn't chocolate, Sam. From what you told me of Mrs. Miller, I thought she might like like to read that new historical novel about New Orleans.
Why, Mr. Evans, how did you know that?
Well, I just guessed, ma'am, from what Sam told me.
I've been dying to read it. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, not at all.
Sam, what are you standing there with your mouth open for?
Nothing, Agnes.
Well, go ahead, make Mr. Evans a drink. Oh, sit down, Mr. Evans, and tell us how you like Jackson City.
Without any tangible lead on Philip Dudley Evans, we turned our attention to a series of fraudulent checks which Evans had left with his victims. Each check was signed by Evans as president, treasurer, or purchasing agent for a non-existent chain of retail stores in the South. His fictitious business activities covered 9 states, and his annual take as a swindler was many thousands. Evans knew every trick of the trade.
Well, there we are, Benny, my boy. My company's check for $8,200. Very pretty, eh?
Yeah, it's great.
You know, I always think it's a good idea to have a check-writing machine handy. It adds class to the act.
Yeah, me too. I wouldn't come out of the house without a check-writing machine.
Benny, I don't think you're with it, my boy. Don't you get the angle?
No.
Look, I am president of Evans Distributors Incorporated. Main office is Dallas, Texas, right?
If you say so.
Okay. Now, tomorrow I go into Sam Miller's office and I say, Sam, I've just come from your factory and I like your line of merchandise. Now, you take my order for 1,000 appliances at $82 a piece. $82,000 total, and here is my check for 10% to confirm the order.
You're giving him a phony check. Even I could do that. Where's the mink coat you're going to get for free and the diamond bracelet? Where's that come in?
Well, the mink coat is for my wife and so are the diamonds.
Who gives you this mink coat? Never mind, you haven't got a wife.
Nobody gives it to me. I buy it at the fanciest furrier in town.
With what?
With one of these company checks.
You mean you make out a check and that... Let's have a glass of beer. I'll believe that mink coat when I see it. Well, maybe taking cars off the street don't pay too good, but at least a guy could understand it.
Back to the Four Flusher in just a moment. Friends, one reason it's a good idea to chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum every day is that it satisfies you without being rich or filling. You can chew Wrigley's Spearmint after meals, between meals, anytime, and as long as you want. You get your satisfaction from the delicious flavor and the natural, pleasant chewing. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is wholesome and good for you. So make your daily treat Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. It's a treat you can trust for healthful daily enjoyment. Always keep a package or two of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum handy in your purse or pocket. Be sure to get Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. Of tonight's story, The Four Flusher.
When the police of Cincinnati sent our bureau a check for comparison in the fraudulent check file, Agent Reynolds and I took the next plane west. We wanted to interview Joseph Steuben, a merchant tailor who had been defrauded to the extent of 2 suits and a top coat by the elusive Philip Dudley Evans.
Is this the man in the picture, Mr. Steuben?
Yeah, that's the one. 2 suits imported English Cheviot, $11.98 a yard, 1 top coat, pure cashmere, $32 a yard. Altogether, $400 worth of stuff, and he gives me a no-good check.
Do you usually accept checks from people you don't know, Mr. Steuben?
Of course not, but he brings me a business card from one of my best customers, Mr. Harris. And later the police tell me he also swindles Mr. Harris, who could afford it better than the poor tailor, believe me.
Have you any idea where Evans was going after he got the suits, Mr. Steuben?
No idea. He just gets in this automobile with the other man and they go.
You told the police about the other man?
Oh, yes.
What about the car the other man was driving? Did you notice that?
Oh, yes. A car just like my son-in-law, Buick, new this year.
What color?
Light brown. Like this cloth.
That's all you remember?
Yeah, that's all. I think I put down the license number somewhere, but I don't know where now.
You put down the license number?
Yeah, I think so. To put on the check, I think.
That would be a tremendous help if you could remember where, Mr. Steuben.
Yeah, that's what my son-in-law tells me. He's my chief cutter. Papa, he says if you could remember, maybe it would help to catch this man. Did you put it down on an order blank, Papa? Did you write it on the wall? Well, who knows where? It's gone now, just like my $400.
But the license number was not gone, as a thorough search of Mr. Steuben's shop uncovered. The number was written on the paper suit pattern that had been cut for Evans. Within an hour, we knew the car was stolen and a countrywide alarm was put on the wires. At that time, Evans, of course, was engaged in another swindle in Jackson City, a short distance away.
And there we are, Sam. My check for $8,200. That'll confirm the order.
Now, look, Phil, you could wait until we bill you. What do I need to confirm with an old friend like you?
Sam, please, please. There's only one way to do business. The right way.
Well, maybe you're right, Phil.
Well, I've got to get back to the hotel.
You're coming out the house for dinner.
Well,
Agnes insists on it now. She wants to talk about books again.
Well, I really shouldn't, Sam, but if, as a matter of fact, I do want to talk to your wife. She knows something about mink coats, doesn't she?
Mink coats? She knows too much.
Oh, you got troubles, too.
Oh, don't mention it.
Yeah, me too. Ever since the convention last fall.
Your wife found out about that party? There was murder in my house.
Yeah, that's why I have to bring home something each time I go out on a trip.
You don't have to tell me, but a mink coat?
Well, that's only half the penalty. I'm adding a diamond bracelet this time.
Your wife must have found out plenty.
Well, not really. No. She's just got a good imagination and room in her closet for another coat.
Oh, Phil, I sympathize with you.
Yeah, so do I. Well, Sam...
It's been a pleasure doing business, Phil.
That goes both ways. Oh, Sam...
Yeah?
I don't know where your wife will tell me to get the coat, but I'll have to pay him by check. Do you think I ought to wire my bank in Dallas, or could you okay my personal check at the store?
I'll okay it naturally.
Well, good, good. That'll save me a lot of fuss. 7:30 for dinner?
That's right.
See you then, Sam. Oh, I promise not to get your wife interested in the new coat this season.
Well, I think it's very nice that he brings something home to his wife each trip. That's more than some people do. Don't make any drinks till he comes, Sam.
All right. Agnes, how much did we pay for your coat last year?
$3,500, and you suffered for every dollar.
$3,500.
What's the matter?
Nothing, only Phil asked me if he should wire his bank in Dallas or if I should okay his personal check at the store. I got swept away and I told him I'd okay it.
What's wrong with that?
Well, $3,500 for a coat and maybe as much for a diamond bracelet. Supposing his check was no good.
Sam, are you out of your mind?
Oh, supposing...
You're not going to insult the man and make him wire his bank.
I'm only saying that...
Philip Evans is a gentleman. I should think that would be obvious, even to you.
Agnes, you don't understand. Even a gentleman's check could bounce.
Oh, all right, go ahead, insult him. Kill any deals in the future. You don't deserve to have a customer like Phil.
Agnes, haven't I always said it's a principle? Never be a cosigner. Never okay a personal check.
Yes, that's what you've always said, Sam.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, make up my mind one way or the other, will you?
I won't have to, Sam. Now you can do it yourself.
Oh, a great helpmeet you are. Where can I bring my troubles if not my own home? Hello, Phil. Come on in. Come in. We were just talking about you.
You were.
Agnes was saying you should bring your wife a nice educational book instead of a foolish thing like a mink coat.
I wasn't saying anything of the kind, Phil. I think you ought to bring her the most outrageously priced coat you can find.
I will if you'll help me pick it out.
I'd be delighted.
She's not kidding. Scotch on the rocks, Phil.
Oh, yes.
Come sit here by me, Phil.
No, here now. Take your drink first.
Thank you.
Well, here's to it, Phil.
Here's to it.
Phil, before we get to talking about books, I'll be glad to okay any of your checks tomorrow. Just have the store call my office.
Well, now, that's mighty nice of you, Sam. I appreciate it.
Oh, nonsense. If a person can't do a favor for a friend, he just doesn't deserve one. That's my motto.
Mine, too, Sam. Here's to friendship.
Back to the Four Flusher in just a moment. Friends, when you chew Wrigley Spearmint Gum, that good, delicious chewing just naturally helps to keep your mouth clean, fresh, and sweet. The natural chewing action helps to clean your teeth. The lively, refreshing flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint chewing gum sweetens your breath and gives your mouth a fresh, clean feeling. So, you see, Wrigley's Spearmint gum gives you more than chewing enjoyment and satisfaction. It's good, and it's good for you. Remember, too, Wrigley's Spearmint gum is a long-lasting treat that satisfies you without being rich or filling. Get a few packages of Wrigley's Spearmint gum next time you're at the store. Enjoy it often, every day, as millions of people do. Act 3 of tonight's story, The Four Flusher.
One week after our alarm had gone out, the stolen car was found parked on a street in Jackson City, Illinois. Local police watched the car for the better part of one night, and when Agent Reynolds and I arrived at the scene, we relieved them for a short period. It was during this time that a slim, dark man came out of a nearby hotel and unlocked the door of the car.
Hello, Benny.
Hello. Do I know you?
Agent Reynolds, FBI.
Mr. Reynolds, well, for the love of Mike, what are you doing in Jackson City?
I may have to ask you the same thing. You know Agent Stevens.
Hello, Benny.
Hiya, Mr. Stevens.
Benny, is this your car?
This car?
Yeah. Is it yours?
You mean, do I own it?
Uh-huh.
Well, if you mean, do I have the registration with me,
Yes.
Now, look, fellas, I know you're not going to believe this, but I bought this here car off a guy in Cincinnati.
What was his name?
Yeah. Harold...
Uh-huh.
Harold Johnson, and he gave me a bill of sale.
Only you lost it.
How did you know?
Benny, we've traced this car from the Steuben Taylor shop in Cincinnati where your friend Phil Evans left a bad check for $400.
Who?
Phil Evans. Ever hear of him?
That name sounds familiar. Did he play ball out on the coast?
Guess again.
Look, fellas, what do you want? I'm clean, honest I am. A guy in the hotel there gave me the key to the car, and he told me to wait for him.
Uh-huh. Why is Phil Evans traveling with you, Benny?
Who says he's traveling with me?
He's traveling with this car, and so are you.
Look, fellas, I think you got kind of the wrong impression about me in this car.
Straighten us out, Benny.
Yeah, well, like I said, this fella in the hotel, he came up to me, and he said that, never mind. They just train you guys so you don't believe anybody. I suppose I come clean, Mr. Reynolds. Would you put in a good word for me?
After a short period of questioning, Benny Gaynor told us what we wanted to know. We paid a quick visit to the Samuel Miller Manufacturing Company and then headed back downtown for a very expensive fur shop.
And this is the natural fur. It should go beautifully with Madame's coloring.
Oh, it isn't for me. It's for Mr. Evans' wife.
Oh, I see.
They live in Dallas.
Yes, of course.
Dallas, Texas.
Well, do you like it, Agnes?
Oh, it's just exquisite, Phil.
You haven't got anything better, huh?
There is nothing better, sir.
Okay, I guess I'll take it along with me.
Very good, sir.
I assume you'll accept my personal check.
Well, sir...
Mr. Miller will verify Mr. Evans' check.
You can call his office if you like.
That would be necessary, sir. Mrs. Miller is known to us.
I better be, with all I've spent in this place.
It's been a pleasure to serve you, ma'am. Did you say you wish to take this along with you, sir?
Yes, please.
I'll have it wrapped, sir, and you can make out your check over there at the desk. Here is the exact amount, sir, on the tag.
Well, thank you. Oh, and wrap that prettily, will you?
I will, sir.
Mr. Patty.
Yes, ma'am.
How much is it?
$3,750, ma'am.
That's 200 more than mine.
I know, ma'am.
You must have had some time at that convention.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, nothing. Only if I get tired of that ratty old thing of mine... Why, Sam, what are you doing
Hello,
here?
Hello, Agnes. Where's Phil?
I'll wrap the coat, ma'am.
He's right over there. Sam, what are you doing out of the office at this hour of the morning?
Never mind. There he is, Mr. Reynolds. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Sam. I'll be right with you.
Sam, what are you...
You'll see, Agnes, in just a minute.
Well, hello, Sam. What are you doing out of the office at this hour of the morning?
Well, that's what I asked you. Well, now that you're here, Sam, you can put your initials on Phil's check.
Oh, I can I?
If you don't mind, old man.
Well, I sure do mind, old man.
Sam.
Don't you, Sammy. You're the one who said he was such a gentleman.
Sam, what are you talking about?
Oh, Agnes, if you'll excuse me for a minute.
I'm talking about him. You four-flusher.
You better explain that remark, Sam Miller.
I'll explain it, Mrs. Miller. You're under arrest, Evans. FBI.
What'd you say?
He said FBI. You're under arrest.
What for?
Fraud, impersonation, and car theft.
Car theft?
Uh-huh. Benny Gaynor's waiting outside. Shall we go along?
Sam, what is this?
What's it sound like? Your friend is a crook.
My friend?
Your friend, the book lover.
Well, of all the nerves.
Agnes, if I told you once, I told you 1,000 times, so let this be a warning to you. Never be a co-signer, Agnes. Never okay a personal check. That should be a principle. All right, Mr. Reynolds, take that four-flusher downtown. I'll be glad to prefer charges against him.
With no defense possible, Philip Evans and Benny Gaynor both pleaded guilty to the charges against them. This being Gaynor's third car theft, he was given a term of 8 years. Evans, with only one previous conviction, received 5. The business community will not be bothered for quite a while by the four-flusher.
Remember, friends, when you want a tasty treat that satisfies you without being rich or filling, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of delicious, long-lasting flavor in a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Real taste enjoyment. And besides, you get satisfaction from the pleasant chewing. It gives you comfort, helps relieve tension, and helps to tide you over till mealtime. So do what millions do. Keep Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy and enjoy it every day. You can enjoy it as often as you want because you know it's good and good for you. Inexpensive, too. Be sure to get Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. In tonight's story, Don Briggs played the part of Philip Evans, Bob Dryden was Benny Gaynor, and Bill Smith was Sam Miller. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Louis Pelletier. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you real chewing enjoyment, invite you to listen to next Wednesday's story, The Collector, on the FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
This winter, your car is going to need more than just protection against freezing.